All right, let's take our Bibles and open to 1 Corinthians 15 again. And I'll begin reading in verse 50. And we will read down to the end of the chapter. All right, beginning in verse 50, Paul says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." All right, let's see how Paul is now going to kind of tie together the things that he has been saying. If you remember, if you will look back into the earlier part of this chapter, he says, let's see, he says in verse 10, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" All right, so That was what precipitated this 15th chapter. There were people in the church who did not understand the doctrine of the resurrection. They just simply did not understand what God was going to do. And it's real important that you see that. If you see that, then the chapter makes a great deal of sense to you. All right, so he has told us that that Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. He said that in verse 20, and then he gives them several things that illustrate his point. And so one of the things that he said to them was that they had all learned from experience that all people eventually die. He said, now, you know, we just know this from life. We know that folks die. From experience, we have learned that all people eventually pass away. And he says that when they do, we also understand, because we've experienced it, we understand that when they do pass away, that the life within them is gone. There's no life there. All you have is a body, but the life is gone out of that body. And so then he says, and the immediate response is that body goes back to the earth. All right, it goes back to the earth. And the reason it does is the life is gone out of it. So in verse 35, Paul said, look at verse 35, Paul said something like this: knowing what you folks know about death and what happens at death to the physical body, you folks are probably wondering first, well then, how are the dead raised up? And then you're wondering, secondly, what kind of body will they have when they are raised up? All right, and the bottom line in all of this that we learned last week is verse 38. But God giveth it a body. All right, now folks, listen, there's just some things that you cannot grasp apart from faith. And this is one of them. All right, this is one of them. This plan that God has for us is one of them. The world does not understand this. The world does not get this at all. All right? But a life of faith, we understand God giveth it a body. Verse 38. Okay? So the bottom line in this matter of the resurrection is that the Lord God Almighty, the one who created the universe, the one who has a plan for us and for how he will provide us a body when he resurrects us from the dead, that God has said or has told us of what he's going to do. So what Paul is going to focus on now is a look on to the future, to the resurrected or the resurrection of the saints of God. That's what he's going to focus on now. And that's why he says in verse 50, where we started reading tonight, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. All right, so what's flesh and blood? Well, that's what we are right now, okay? That's what we are right this minute. You are flesh and blood. And Paul says that flesh and blood is not what we go to heaven with. You say, well, if I don't go to heaven with this, what do I go to heaven with? Your soul goes to heaven. The soul is who you are. It is your mind, your will, your emotions. Your soul is the real you. And it dwells in this body that you have. All right? And this body that you have is one day going to die. It will not last forever because of the sin curse that is upon it. And so when death comes, Paul says, the body stays here, but the soul goes to be with the Lord. All right? So that's the plan. And Paul says this great principle in verse 50 about the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that great truth is that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It means that our natural physical bodies are not what we go to heaven with. When God created us, he made us in his image, in his own image. And God is, he is three, yet one. He is Father, Son, and Spirit. And John said these three are one. All right? And God made us body, soul, and spirit. And we are three, yet we're one person. And so our body is the physical house that our eternal soul lives in. But this body has a curse upon it. And the body is in the process of dying. Because the wages of sin is death. Exactly. And so one day, just like everybody else behind us, we are also going to suffer the wages of sin, and we are also going to die. But that's why the Lord Jesus came. You see, he came so that through his finished work on the cross, his sacrifice, his death, his burial, his resurrection, the atonement that he provided pays for our sin debt. And his soul, our souls are washed in the blood of his of Christ, and we get to go to heaven. So now, if I'm saved and I die, my physical body loses its life, but my eternal soul immediately moves out of this body and goes into the presence of the Lord. Hold your place here and go to the next epistle, 2 Corinthians. And look at chapter 5 for just a moment. And Paul explains this a little bit more. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 1. Paul said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," all right, so what is the earthly house of this tabernacle? Well, that's your body. That is the tabernacle that your eternal soul lives in. All right, so Paul said, "If our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this body," all right, look at me, "in this body," verse 2, "for in this," and you can point at yourself right there, all right, "for in this body we groan." Boy, you do, don't you? I do. I get up. Oh, I sit down. Oh, I get up. Oh. Yeah, I mean, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality, which is what we have right now, might be swallowed up of life. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of his Spirit. So you have the Holy Spirit living within you. That's a down payment on the heaven that is awaiting you. All right? So the Spirit is the earnest, the down payment. Then verse 6, "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight." Sight is for the next world. Okay? Sight is for eternity. That's what we're going to have when we get to heaven. Right now, The only way you see Jesus is through eyes of faith. All right? But one day your faith will be turned into sight. Verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So the day is coming, Paul says, when we are going to be absent from this body. But when that day comes, if you're a born again believer, don't panic, because to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Folks, stop and think about how big of a church we have in heaven. Man, we have got a monster of a church in heaven. A lot of our folks in the last five, eight years have passed and gone to heaven. Scads of them. We have done so many funerals. It is amazing how many funerals we've done. And every one of them closed their eyes here, but opened them up immediately in the presence of the Lord. And that's our hope. So to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And I tell you something, folks, I am looking forward to that day when I will see him face to face. I'm not in a big hurry. All right, don't get me wrong. I'd rather go with the big crowd. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I want to go. I'm in a hurry to get there, but if the big crowd is going, not in a real big hurry to go alone. All right? But if the rapture happens, I'm good. I'm all for it. All right? But I'm not in any big hurry to get there. Does that make sense? That makes sense, doesn't it? Yes, indeed. So verse 50, though, says, Paul says, so church, all right, don't forget it, he's talking to this church. So let me just simplify it for you. So Paul says to them, okay, church, here's what you need to understand. Don't panic. Don't panic. You're not going to heaven in these old sinful bodies with your arthritis and your disease and your bad eyes and your bad ears and your dentures and your diabetes. You're not going to heaven with that. All right? All of that you leave behind. And flesh and blood is not how you're going to heaven. Your soul, your spiritual man, is what is going to heaven. All right? So, with that foundation, go back to the 15th chapter now. With that foundation, Paul deals with the great mystery of the resurrection. In verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. All right, well, what is it, Paul? Well, here it is. We shall not all sleep. Now, the word sleep, and I've taught you this many, many times, the word sleep in the Greek New Testament is the word cemeteros. That sound familiar to anybody? Cemetery. Exactly. So Paul is not talking about you getting sleepy in church and taking a nap in church. All right? He's not talking about that. He's not talking about you going home and sleeping through the night. He's not talking about that. When he says we shall not all sleep, you know he's not talking about physical sleep, because we all must have sleep. We must have it. I get a bear if I don't get sleep. That's right. I am not pleasant to be around. All right. So we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. All right. So what's the point? Well, don't forget verse 50. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, so you've got to be changed to go to heaven. That, listen, you've got to be changed whether you die here and go to heaven, or whether the Lord comes and raptures you out, you got to be changed. Why? Well, because flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? You've got to have a different body. And so Paul says that we are to, he uses a word, behold. Behold, and that is a challenging word. And it means that, basically here's what it's mean. Hey, look at this. Hey, this is important. Don't miss this. That's what the word behold is signifying. It is a word that Paul uses that he was intending to make us sit up and notice and pay attention. And so what are we to behold? Well, Paul says we are to behold a mystery. Now, what is a mystery? Well, it's something out of the ordinary, for one thing. A mystery in the New Testament and in the Christian faith never means something that cannot be understood. All right, don't misunderstand that now. A mystery is never something that cannot be understood. That's not a mystery. It always means something that man, by his own intellectual effort, cannot find out. The natural man receiveth not things of the Spirit of God. Remember that? All right, he said that in chapter 2. And so when Paul says, this is a mystery, behold, I show you a mystery, he always means something that he's about to share that man, with his own intellectual effort, is never going to find out. You're not going to get this unless you have ears to hear what God reveals to you. And so here is that revelation. We shall not all sleep. It is something that is revealed and something that man can apprehend because it is revealed. And Paul is the one that revealed it. But you're not going to get this from any other source other than from the Lord. Well, what is it, Paul? He said, I show you a mystery. This is something, Paul says, that you will never find out by the human process of reasoning. You will never understand this truth by the searching of the intellect. Paul says, it's a mystery, but I will tell it to you. And folks, right there is where the focus and the emphasis needs to be placed. Paul says, I declare it, I tell it to you. Well, where did Paul get it? He got it from the Lord. That's why he can tell it to us. All right, so what is this mystery? Well, look at your Bible. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So let me say it this way. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. Now, folks, listen, look at me. Don't forget that right here is where they were tripping. Right here was where they were getting tripped up. Right here, they were hung up on the reality that some of their people were dying and the Lord had not come back yet. And they couldn't understand because they watched them pass away, and then they knew that they were dead. They knew that. And they took their bodies and they buried them, and their bones their bodies decayed. And so they're sitting there scratching their heads and going, man, I don't understand this. How's this work? And Paul says, let me show you how it works. This is how it works. When you get saved, you have a soul that is saved, not your body, your soul. And when you get saved, that is what you goes to heaven. So they heard Paul and they heard the others. Remember, Peter preached there. All those great first century men that they were following and that were causing all the division and stuff in the church. And they heard them all say, hey, when you get saved, you go to heaven. And yet, when these saved people died, they were just, their bodies were just like the unsaved people who died. And they buried them in a grave because their bodies went back to the dust. And that is why Paul said in verse 50, we don't go to heaven with these flesh and blood bodies that we have right now. But here is the mystery. Paul says, not all of us are going to die. Well, boy, I bet that really rattled their cages, don't you? Now, how is it that not all of us are going to die? I'll tell you how. There's this thing called the rapture of the church. Now, listen, I'm hoping I'm in that generation. How many of you want to be in that generation? Yeah, of course you do. I've told you before, you catch your death and pneumonia down in one of them holes that they bury you in. Don't want to be buried. I want to go up. I don't want to be buried in a hole. All right? And so Paul said, let me show you a mystery. Not all of us are going to die. What? Oh, that's right. Yeah. Look at, for he said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, why do you need to be changed? Because you can't go to heaven in your flesh and blood body. All right? So you got to be changed. Well, how's this going to happen? Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Now, that's not Eric or Baron. All right? So you don't have to wait four generations of trumps before you can, for the rapture. No, this is a trumpet, all right, at the last trumpet. And he explains that, for the trumpet shall sound. This is the rapture. This is when the Lord Jesus steps out on the clouds. The trumpet sounds, the voice of the archangel. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to go up. The twinkling of an eye, that's that little spark in your eye when the light hits it. All right? General Electric said that is 1/200th of a second. That's pretty quick. All right? So we'll go up. And when we do, we're going to be changed. And this is a mystery to us. All because we have never known anything like this. All we have ever known is that men live and then they die. They live and then they die. And when they die, they're gone. Their bodies go back to the dust. That's the way it has been from the beginning. And that's all we know. But Paul said, wait a minute, let me show you a mystery. Not all of us are going to die. And folks, I'm telling you, every generation of the church has prayed that they are the generation that will be alive when the Lord Jesus comes back. But Paul says, listen, if you die, don't worry. Your soul goes to heaven. So be comforted with that knowledge. But realize that not all of us will die, but we will all be changed. So why do we need to be changed? Because verse 50, folks, verse 50 is the key. We got to be changed because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You see, for as long as we have been on this earth, we have watched our loved ones die. Our hearts have been broken. We have all stood with a pain and a hurt within us, and we've all been there. But here is the mystery. We are used to our loved ones passing, but Paul said there's coming a generation that will not pass. There is coming a generation that will not have to be buried in the ground. There is coming a generation who will not see man's last enemy. For the Lord Jesus one day is coming back to snatch that generation of believers up, change them in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, so that they are heaven ready. I hope I'm in that generation. Second thing I want you to see here, notice we have to be changed to inherit the kingdom. We have to be, all right? He said that in verse 53, for this corruptible, what's the next word?
Must.
It must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. I mean, we just must. You see, we cannot go to heaven in these bodies. These bodies are under the curse of sin. So the Lord Jesus has to change us instantly and give us a new body, one that is equipped for heaven. All right, go back to Acts chapter 1 for just a second. The book of Acts chapter 1. Just flip back in your Bible to the book of Acts. And look, please, at verse 9. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. The Bible says, but when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So he ascended in the clouds, we are told here in verse 11, verse 9, he was taken up in a cloud, verse 9. So he ascended up in the clouds. All right, now go over to 1 Thessalonians for just a minute, chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians. All right, so you listen while you're turning. So the angels appeared to the disciples as Jesus went up, and they said to the disciples, why are you standing here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you just saw go up is going to come back in the same manner. All right, so what manner did he go up? Well, in the clouds. All right, so look at 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. And here to this church, Paul writes, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, what's asleep mean?
Dead.
So I don't want you to be ignorant about this. I want you to know God never endorses ignorance, never. We got a Bible and we can read it. All right, so concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Folks, you imagine the reunion we're going to have one of these days? I mean, just imagine the day when that trumpet sounds. I'm going to see my mother again. I'm going to see my grandfather again. I'm going to see my aunt again. I'm going to see my grandparents on my mother's side, which, man, they died when I was a little guy. And all these church members, all the people whose funerals I've done, oh, it's going to be awesome. I mean, what a time we're going to have. He said that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. See, we got hope. We got hope. Our hope is in the Lord. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in other words, if we're saved, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So when Jesus comes back, all those that have passed away and gone to heaven, they're all going to be there to greet us. Man, we're going to have a reunion in the sky, dancing from cloud to cloud. Woo! Hang on. I sometimes watch birds fly, and I say, man, I wish I could do that. And one day I will be able to. All right, verse 15. He said, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. All right, remember, it's a mystery. You would not know this naturally. All right, the only reason we know this is because God told us. We would not know that. You could not read about this in the World Book Encyclopedia. You could sit and read philosophy until your eyes crossed and you would not get this. But God gives it to us and explains the mystery. Amen. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not, what's the next word?
Prevent.
Prevent, not precede. Prevent. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, the King James Bible says, shall not prevent. And there's a reason that prevent is the right word. Seed, precede. Seed is the Latin word that means go. All right? And go is the opposite of come. But notice that the Bible's built-in dictionary solves the confusion and lets us know that the word prevent is the right word. The context here is verse 15, the coming, look at your Bible, right? The context is the what? Coming of the Lord. From, listen, oh, this will bless you. From God's perspective, we are coming to heaven. We're coming to where he is. Does that make sense? And when Jesus steps out on the clouds, he's coming to where we are so he can get us. And the word prevent is a Latin word which means come. Come. Not go, come. But from the world's perspective, from the world's point of view, we are going away, which would be the word precede or go. Okay? So the word prevent is the right word. So Paul announces that life is not always going to be like it is now. Let me say it to you this way. Life will not continue forever as we are living it now. We are going to be changed. Something is going to happen, and something will happen within our own being. And we shall be changed. The key phrase here is in verse 51. We shall be changed. And that statement, which assumes the whole fact of a resurrection, I mean, it just assumes that a resurrection has to be. So Paul tells us when this is going to happen. It's going to happen at the last trumpet. As we continue on in verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians 4. He said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." All right, so Paul says, when the Lord Jesus comes, the trumpet will sound, and this change is going to come when there is the rapture of the church. And in that day, when the Lord Jesus steps out on the clouds and calls us home, we will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. All right, now one more verse. Go to 1 John real quick. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And here Paul says, "Behold," verse 1, "behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Now watch this. Beloved, what's the next word?
Now.
Now. What's now mean?
Now.
Present. Right now. Now are we the sons of God. Remember John 1:12? All right, remember John 1:12? When he talked about, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." All right, so beloved, now are we the sons of God. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be." Future. So right now, if we're saved, we're the sons of God. But John said, "But you're not yet what you're going to be. Right now you're a son of God. But hang on, it gets gooder." Okay? It gets better. All right? "For we know that when he," Christ, "shall appear," and that is what? What is that? That's the rapture. All right, so that when he shall appear, remember, we're going to be changed. That was Paul's whole argument in verse 50, that our bodies cannot go to heaven like they are, this flesh and blood. And so John comes and backs it up and says, "But we know that when he shall appear at the rapture, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." That's a pretty good promise right there. And notice, Paul does not tell us when this day is going to be, but he does tell us that when it happens, we're going to be changed. So live in a manner, as though it could happen at any minute. All right, one more verse. Go over to Revelation 20 real quick. And now, Revelation 20, look at verse 14. It says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." Revelation 20, last book of the Bible. And he said, "Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." But look at 21:4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more" what?
Death.
Amen. "Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain." Amen. Why? Because former things are passed away. So death is cast into the lake of fire, according to verse 14 and 15 of chapter 20. Death, and then the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet and all the unsaved that are in hell, and we will never have to worry again about shedding a tear because of a broken heart. God will wipe away all the tears from our eyes. And when Paul finished that, thinking about all that, back in 1 Corinthians 15, he just let up a shout to God and said in verse 57, he said, "But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory." Thanks be to God. So there it is. Thankfulness to the Lord. Because I tell you what, folks, without the Lord, you wouldn't have any of this. So think about it.